What it really shows is the difficulty of trying to combat a multinational threat when you're dealing with an area where borders are fluid. So what we had in Afghanistan was always a small operation. We never occupied the country the way that we occupied Germany or Japan after World War II, for example. We always tried to move through local intermediaries. We never actually had the troops on the ground to actually impose governance the way you have to effectively combat a terror organization. And at the same time, the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan is extremely fluid. The Pakistani government doesn't have control over that border. The Afghan government never has. So what you had were multinational terrorist movements that simply moved over. You know, Osama bin Laden was killed in Pakistan. What we're seeing is, I think, a phenomena that you have people with a pre-modern ideology, in this case, anti-Western, that claims roots in Islam, but they're taking advantage of modern technology, internet communications, global communications to inspire and recruit people in other countries, international flights. And this is just the new world order. And this terrorist threat is going to be with us for a long time. But the initial indications are not good. It appears as though these organizations are quickly reestablishing a presence in Afghanistan. And that's going to be a challenge for the Biden administration going forward.
The U.S. was satisfied originally with its operations in the past against ISIS-K inside Afghanistan. Why has it become the highest terrorist threat after all these years?
ISIS-K, like most insurgent groups, doesn't need a whole lot of people or a whole lot of infrastructure in order to maintain itself, you know, in a system of viability. When you have a chaotic situation, which the Taliban claims to be in control of Kabul, but really isn't, and you have a determined adversary, and you have a lot of, you know, civilian population moving around, people that disguise themselves as civilians find that very easy to exploit. So ISIS-K was not considered to be defeated. It was considered to be in a dormant state, where it was still watched closely and where targets were identified, they were probably taken out. They fight actively with the Taliban. They consider each other as heretics. So the Taliban has no great love for them. So in terms of ISIS-K, the attack at the airport was a twofer. It discredited the Taliban's claim to be a functioning government in Afghanistan, and it struck a blow at American forces. And from their perspectives, that's about as good as it gets.
If there was one issue in the United States that united Republicans and Democrats alike during both the primary campaign leading to the 2020 U.S. presidential election and the election campaign itself, it was the bipartisan commitment to ending the era of endless wars. What is the way forward for the U.S. to combat international terrorism?
You know, the U.S. is tired of endless wars, but you always have to remember the Stalin quote, "You may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you." Unfortunately, what we're seeing is a movement that has a religious sheen to it, but it's not dissimilar from the anarchist movement of the late 19th, early 20th century. You have people who are dissatisfied with the international order, and it's only natural to expect that people who are dissatisfied in the 1890s, they call themselves anarchists. Later on, they called themselves communists and revolutionaries. Now they call themselves Islamists. But the motivation is all the same. It's a dissatisfaction with their place in the world order and then a willingness to take violent action against those who they see as imposing this world order. So this is a state of nature. It's going to be chronic. It's not something that you can solve with one attack like in a movie. My biggest concern is that it appears as though now there is a country in which these organizations will be able to operate at will. And if that is the case, that will be a serious problem for the United States and for its partners and for really anybody who opposes these groups, be they in the West or not, going forward. And it's going to be a problem for a number of years.